You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Part 4. Matt breathed the sea air deep into his lungs. The trail along the beach stretched in front of him, winding through the bushes and the rocks, and at this time of day it was deserted. The fog was rolling in from the ocean, covering the coastline in a white shroud that made every beach enthusiast pack up and go home, and that made it perfect for his purposes. Land's End was a lovely place when the weather was right, but right now, with the fog covering the water and the peaks, it looked a little like a landscape in a horror movie, Matt thought, as he bent down to lace his sneakers one last time. He wasn't here to swim, though. He was here to run. When he had gotten Andrew's text message, Cougar had suggested that they have an impromptu training session. When he looked next to him in the fog, he could see her there, looking at him with anticipation in her eyes. She tilted her head as if saying, "What are you waiting for?" Matt began to run, slowly at first, but gradually increasing his speed. His legs felt warm, tense, and strong, moving under him and carrying him forward without having to think about it. He could see the edge of the cliffs out of the corner of his eye moving past him on his right, but he kept his focus ahead of him, just in case something or someone would appear out of the white fog on the path and need to be avoided. He felt his heart pumping, but not at all as hard as you would expect from moving at this speed. Next to him, Cougar kept pace, and then urged him on by moving just a little bit faster than him. The dust flew from his feet as he jumped, once, then once more, higher and higher in great striding leaps, jumping up the steep stairs built into the trail. He felt incredible, like he could run forever. And suddenly, he couldn't run anymore. The flow of energy, pulsing through every fiber of his body, vanished from one moment to the next, and he almost fell as he stumbled forward, losing his momentum in 5 or 6 steps. He stopped, turned around, and looked at Cougar, who had stopped next to him. "What happened? Did I run out of steam or something?" Cougar shook her head. "No, but you shouldn't rely solely on my power. You need to train your own strength as well. Run back the way you came, without power. Train your body instead of the energy." Matt shrugged. "Without that power, I don't think I'll make it back. I ran like 3 miles. "Try." "Fine. Whatever." Matt turned around and began making his way back. It didn't feel quite so good anymore, and he quickly lost his breath. Cougar made a sound almost like a laugh. "You're far more dependent on the power than you should be. We'll have to work on that."
"Okay, we will," Matt panted. "But could you give me some power now so I can get home without fainting?"
A moment later, he felt the strength and speed return to his legs. His breath became calmer, easier, and more steady, and he picked up the pace, smiling. Suddenly, he heard a sound ahead of him and slowed his sprint to a jog. He cocked his ears. Not just a sound, a scream. He looked around in the white, hazy world he was in. Visibility was down to about 15 feet, but when he closed his eyes, he could feel his other senses take over from his eyes. The sound of a struggle, the scent of sweat, fear, and perfume mixing in with the normal smells of the trail and the fog. He turned his head back and forth. There! He moved off the path, immediately coming closer to the sounds. He crouched, moving fast but quietly, through the bushes.
He wasn't too far from the beginning of the trail and the parking lot, and here the trail was surrounded by dense bushes and foliage. It was behind one of those bushes that he spotted movement and could hear the struggle. There were no more screams, but a puffing, groaning sound was still audible to his sharp ears. On the ground, pushed up against a tree, was a young woman in a runner's outfit, similar to his own. She had a man on top of her, who, with a gloved hand, covered her mouth while trying to hold her down with the other hand. The man was wearing black clothes, but his pants were pulled halfway down, and Matt had no doubt what he was trying to do. Matt bit his lip. This wasn't a bully or a beating. This was an actual crime, an actual rape. An innocent person was in danger. Maybe this was what Cougar had meant when it spoke of knowing when to use the powers. No matter what, he had to do something. Flexing his muscles, he felt a strange, pleasurable burning in them. It felt like they tensed on their own, stretched and tightened. And even though nothing happened to him that he could see, he felt stronger and more powerful. There was no doubt that Cougar's power was filling him. He gritted his teeth and moved forward out of the bushes. He moved silently, and in five quick steps stood right behind the man. He could see his underwear pulled halfway down and got an idea. He grabbed the man by the back of his pants, performing a trick that he himself had been the victim of multiple times in school. His fingers grabbed the underwear and pulled up hard. The man gave a wheezing scream as he was literally lifted off the woman by his own briefs. Matt felt both surprised and elated at how strong he actually was, since the man was much larger and heavier than him. But he didn't enjoy it long. He threw the man to the side, head first into the bushes. Matt stepped forward, reaching a hand down to the woman on the ground. Her sweats were pulled down past her hips, but it didn't look like the man had actually had time to do more.
"Here, come on, get up," Matt said.
The woman pushed back against the tree, her breathing in short, panicked gasps.
"Relax,"
Matt said, smiling what he hoped was a reassuring smile.
"I'm one of the good guys. You have to get up before he does, though."
The woman visibly tried to choke down her fear, took his hand and pulled herself up. She reached for her sweats and pulled them up as well, covering herself. The attacker got to his feet and staggered from the bushes. It was clear that he was in pain. Matt remembered clearly how much a wedgie hurt, and this one had been given with a strength he himself had fortunately never experienced.
"Back off, mate."
Matt's voice was calm, even though his heart now pounded faster than it had during the run. The woman took a step back, looking from one to the other. She crossed her arms over her chest, hugging herself.
"Who the hell are you?"
the man said, and now Matt could see that his face was covered with a woolen cap, with holes cut for the eyes and mouth, like a mask.
"Batman?" "More like Catman, actually. And right now, I can go all superhero on your ass, or we can call the cops and you can go downtown with them. Your choice."
At the corner of his eye, he could see Cougar nodding. The man moved forward, reaching into his jacket for something. When it came out again, he held a butterfly knife. Matt tensed. He knew he was fast and strong, but he wasn't invulnerable. He began to wonder if this had been a mistake. The man took another step forward, swiping the knife through the air in a half thrust, and suddenly Matt felt time slow down for him. He realized that this must be what a predator feels when it's on the hunt. He could see every move the man made, every shift in his posture, looking for an opening in Matt's defenses. The knife swiped to the left, then to the right, and suddenly Matt leaped forward, his foot shooting out, connecting with the wrist of the man's right hand. Matt could feel the bone crack under the sole of his sneaker. The knife went flying, and the man screamed. Matt landed and crouched in a posture that resembled a large cat. He bared his teeth in a snarl, feeling the cougar inside him wanting to leap forward and attack again. The man held his wrist, looking at Matt with two terrified eyes peering out through the holes in the cap.
"Go to the cops and turn yourself in, right now," Matt said,
stealing a line from a comic he once read.
"Or I'll come and find you. Next time, it won't just be your wrist."
The man turned and ran for the parking lot. Matt could hear a car start and peel gravel as he sped off. Matt got up from his crouch, looked at his clothes and dusted them off before turning to face the woman. His cheeks were flushed, but he could feel his pulse returning to normal. He felt incredible, even better than during the run. He smiled at the woman, and she returned the smile, even though she was obviously still scared.
"Hey, are you okay? Do you need me to take you to a doctor or something?"
No, I'm fine."
Her voice was hesitant, and still with an edge of panic, although she was calming down a little now.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
"You're sure? I could drop you off at the emergency room if..."
"No, I've got my own car. Plus, he didn't really..."
Her voice trembled.
"What? How did you do that? That jump and lift him up like that?"
"Oh, Native American gods, online role-playing, vegan lifestyle, a lot of things, really."
"You're sure you're okay?"
"Yes."
She moved forward and reached out her hand to him.
"Thank you."
"Don't mention it. I just hope he does what I told him and turns himself in."
"Yeah."
She hesitated, her gaze for a moment darting to the place on the ground where she had been just minutes before, and she shivered lightly.
Hey, would you maybe..."
She took a deep breath, then looked at him again, her eyes now filled with something Matt had barely ever seen before. Admiration.
"Can you walk me to my car, though, please? Just in case."
"Of course."
Matt kept a hold of her hand and arm as they began walking up the path to the parking lot, supporting her a little.
"You probably shouldn't run out here by yourself anymore. It's not a safe place."
"Well done."
Cougar's voice also had admiration in it. He smiled at her and nodded in thanks. At close to midnight, Bob, Andrew, and Jim decided to call it a night. The counter had been finished and put together, and Jim was busy sanding the top of the new counter, making it as smooth as the rest. Andrew and Bob were picking up the tools and removing the plastic covering the floor.
"I can't believe how fast this went," Bob said.
"I know it's late, but with your help, I think I'll be ready to open for business on Friday. I really appreciate it."
"Don't mention it." Andrew wiped his hands in his shirt. "It was fun doing stuff like this. It's not something I get to do very often."
"Well, I promise that when I get the bar restocked, drinks are on me. And speaking of which, would you like to sit and have a soda for a moment? There's actually something I wanted to ask you guys. Something of a little more personal nature."
"You mean more personal than fixing up your life's work here?" Jim said, gesturing around. "Sure thing. We'll have one last drink and be personal. What's up?"
The three men sat down around one of the newly fixed tables. Bob put drinks out for them, opened his own can, and then looked at his fingers, which were dusty and dirty over his red skin color. He looked mildly uncomfortable.
"What's the story?" Andrew said. "You suddenly look like there's something wrong."
"No, not wrong. not as such. It's just, these last few days, things have been going so fast, and today was the first time I really had time to think about this.
About what? Jim said.
Bob shrugged.
Okay, I don't expect guys like you to understand this, but it's sometimes kind of hard to find dates in the supernatural community of San Francisco. At least if you're 6'2" and the color of a fire truck. Jim and Andrew looked at each other. Both of them had found dates in what Bob considered the supernatural community, but of course they also looked more or less like ordinary people.
Okay, so Tinder's not for you, is that what you're saying? Andrew said.
So what? Don't you see lots of people here every night? Sure, but I'm the host. If I made a move on people who come here, well, it would be mixing business with pleasure, if you catch my drift.
I think so.
Jim still hadn't finished the can of soda from earlier, but his fingers fiddled with the can.
But what's your point, then?
I've met someone. Someone I'd like to ask out on a date.
Bob looked at his fingers.
There's just one slight problem. He doesn't know how I look.
Bob's voice became softer, as if his normal front of the jolly bartender fell away.
What do you mean?
Andrew took a sip of his soda.
I mean I met him in a play. I do a bit of community theater. We were doing Faust. Guess who I played?
Jim laughed.
That must have been typecasting.
So he thinks you, I mean what you look like, is a costume and makeup?
Andrew said.
Okay, I see the problem.
Yes, but we got along so well. All through rehearsals and the performances and everything, we talked, we flirted. He's handsome and nice and, well, kind. Do you realize how rare it is for me to just be accepted as a person and not a freak when I'm with a regular person?
So this guy, when you say he's a regular person, I take it he's not a supernatural,
Jim said.
No, he's just a nice, ordinary guy.
So why didn't you ask him out during the rap party or something?
Jim said.
I was always waiting for the right time, and it never came. Now the play is done, and I don't know how to do this. I don't know where he lives. And even if I did, I can't just walk up to him and ask him out. It's weird. Some guy with red skin just knocking on your front door, you know?
Write him a letter?
Andrew suggested.
I don't know his email either.
Bob looked at them.
No, I was actually hoping one of you guys would go ask him. He does some volunteer work in a store downtown on Mondays and Tuesdays, but I can't just walk in there and scare the customers. Maybe you could swing by and ask him if he'd be interested in a date? Give him my number? I would really appreciate that. I'd owe you a huge favor. And as you know, it's always good for the devil to owe you one.
Bob got a bit of his normal gleam in his eye. Jim and Andrew looked at each other.
Look, Bob, Jim said. It's not that we don't want to help you, but it's not like any of us have experience in chatting up men for dates. I mean, when I was a cop, that sort of thing was illegal.
Oh, come on, Jim.
Bob pointed a finger at him.
You've lived in this city for years. You've come here at least 4 times a month. It can hardly shock you that there are men in San Francisco who like other men.
No, but that doesn't mean I know how to act like one,
Jim said. But Andrew cut in.
Bob, I'd be happy to help you out. And so would Jim if he could stop being macho for a moment. We're not going to make any promises on the acceptance of the suggestion, but we'll be happy to talk to the guy. What's his name?
Martin. Martin Guerrero.
Bob took a notepad from his pocket, wrote a few words on it, and handed the page to Andrew.
This is the store where he works. Just ask for Captain Blue.
Andrew looked at the paper.
Captain? What kind of store is this?
Bob winked.
You'll see. And thank you, Andrew. My cell phone number is on the bottom. Just give him the note.
Jim got up and grabbed his jacket.
Well, as interesting as playing Cupid would be, I think I'll leave it to Andrew. He's much better at that stuff than I am. I'm going to go home and catch a few hours of sleep. Tomorrow, we're going down to the wharf and checking out the chocolate factory, okay? We've been putting it off for too long. I'll meet you there at 10.
Andrew got his own jacket after emptying his soda.
Sleep tight, Bob. Don't work anymore tonight. You need sleep as well.
Oh, I won't. And I'll send you guys a text for the grand reopening. Bring the whole team. I'll give them all membership cards. As Jim and Andrew headed up the stairs, Andrew looked at Jim.
You can be so old-fashioned sometimes. You know that? Would it have killed you to go ask the guy out for Bob?
Killed? No. Made me uncomfortable? Yes. Besides, I'm sure you'll do fine.
Why would it make you uncomfortable? You're not exactly homophobic, or you wouldn't have lasted that many years here in San Francisco.
No, I'm not. In fact, I think it should be anyone's right to date whoever they want.
Jim opened the exit door and stepped outside in the cool night air.
I've never been good with emotions. When I was married to Ginger, she said I was an emotional hunk of granite. Ria's called me pig-headed.
And you deserve that.
Yeah, maybe I do. I'm just conservative, and I don't feel comfortable having to deal with other people's emotions. I've got enough in my own, to be honest.
Andrew put the paper in his pocket and went to his motorbike.
Fine, I'll take care of it. I still think you should come, though. It might do you good.
Jim unlocked his car.
I'll think about it.
Don't think too long. I'm going there on Monday.
Jim got into his car and drove off, watching Andrew drive the opposite way in his mirror.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.